Morning, everyone. So, Calvin told me last night he wasn't feeling very well and asked me to put some thoughts together. So, these are those thoughts. So, bear with me because I'm kind of nervous. And I'm also dealing with a new set of glasses that I haven't quite got used to yet. So, anyways, I want to talk a little bit about complacency. So, in my line of work, my chosen profession, I hear about complacency quite a bit. And the way that I hear about it is that I'm told all the time, and I tell other people that complacency kills. And so it ends up being a common theme. It's a training topic. People make 3-5 day trainings about it. They talk about it in a lot of trainings that you go to, even on other topics. So it becomes a warning to be heeded. It's a very blunt message, and it's made to be that way so that it's supremely clear. And the message behind it is that if you let your guard down, you're dead. You let your guard down, and you will be killed. So the lesson behind that in my work is that being hypervigilant makes sense when you're confronted by an invisible enemy and the routine becomes anything but routine. When a traffic stop becomes more than just a traffic violation, like what just happened in Texas yesterday, the other day, when someone walking into the store has intentions of doing more than shopping, like what happened in Missouri here not that long ago, noticing something small but out of the ordinary and trusting your instincts is the difference between life and death. The Cambridge Dictionary defines complacency as a feeling of calm satisfaction with your own abilities or situation that prevents you from trying harder. So that's not a good thing, is it? Webster's Dictionary goes even further and provides a warning. A feeling of being satisfied with how things are and not wanting to try to make them better. Self-satisfaction, especially when accompanied by unawareness of actual dangers or deficiencies. So how does that apply to us, and why am I talking about this? So the warning of the danger of complacency in our faith lies in Revelation 3, verses 15 through 17. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. This says to me that Jesus can't stand indifference, which is another word for complacency. That our faith will challenge us not to seek comfort, or stay in a zone that encourages complacent contentment. That he commands us to work each minute of each day to seek the Father through him. So Alana didn't really understand this, but I'm going to tell this story anyways because I found it and I thought it was a pretty good example of this. When an eagle builds her nest, she starts with thorns, broken branches, sharp rocks, and several other things that are unsuitable for a warm, safe, comfortable environment from which to lay, incubate, and hatch her eggs. But then she lines the nest with a thick padding of wool, feathers, and fur from animals, making it soft and comfortable. The growing birds reach flying age, but the comfort of the nest and the luxury of free meals make them quite reluctant to leave. That's when the eagle begins stirring up the nest. With her talons, she begins pulling up the thick carpet of fur and feathers, bringing the sharp rocks and branches to the surface. As more of the bedding gets plucked up, the nest becomes more uncomfortable for the young eagles. The mother prompts the growing eagles to leave their once comfortable nest and move on to realize their abilities. Or they throw them out of the nest. Christianity is not meant to be lived in comfortable complacency. To be a disciple of Jesus is to deny oneself, Matthew 16. To take up a cross, Luke 14. To be subject to persecution, John 15. To give up the creature comforts of home, Luke 9. To forsake the priority of family, Luke 9. To be willing to give up all material possessions, Matthew 19. And to be crucified with Christ, Galatians 2. The dominant attitude of the people in Israel just before their fall was one of self-sufficiency, spiritual indifference, complacency, and self-satisfaction. A major part of what the message of God warns us against is exactly those themes. Ezekiel 33, verse 31 says, "My people come to you, as they usually do, and sit before you to hear your words, but they do not put them into practice. Their mouths speak of love, but their hearts are greedy for unjust gain." Matthew 22, verse 5 says, "But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. There's a challenge to me, to all of us, I believe, from God. I call it a take-home test. It's a self-graded evaluation. Nobody else in the room is going to evaluate you on this. And he allows for this in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. "Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test." Self-graded evaluation that we should all do for ourselves. Nobody else can do it for us. If you haven't got it yet, I think that complacency is a problem. Or it can be a problem. It's a problem not only in our everyday lives, but also in matters of faith. If we're prudent, our everyday lives should be matters of faith, for everything that we do should be done to glorify Him. God has a purpose for our life. God has a plan for our life. How are we treating God's plan? Are we content with going through the motions? Are we satisfied that we are doing enough? Are we working not only for ourselves, but for the benefit and salvation of others as well? There are people in this world that God wants to touch, and you and I are some of the only ones that can do it. Are we staying engaged? Are we heeding the works of God before me? Are we living the best example of ourselves as set by Jesus Himself? Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. "How shall we escape if we ignore so great a salvation? This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard Him." Healthy faith doesn't just celebrate you as you are, but relentlessly molds and refines you into the likeness of Christ. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. Uncomfortable Christianity leads to life and transformation. It leads us to rely on God and not on ourselves, to serve rather than be served, to live lives marked by sacrifice. It leads us to do hard things, to embrace hard truths, to do life with hard people for the sake and glory of the one who did the hardest thing. It may be uncomfortable, but it will be worth it. On the other side of discomfort is delight in Christ. I leave you with this reminder from Wisdom's Rebuke. And this is kind of long, but I think it's worth reading the whole thing. This is Proverbs 1, verses 20 through 33. "Out in the open, wisdom calls aloud. She raises her voice in the public square. On top of the wall, she cries out. At the city gate, she makes her speech. How long will you who are simple love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? Repent at my rebuke. Then I will pour out my thoughts to you. I will make known to you my teachings. But since you refuse to listen when I call, and no one pays attention when I stretch out my hand, since you disregard all my advice and do not accept my rebuke, I in turn will laugh when disaster strikes you. I will mock when calamity overtakes you, when disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind, when distress and trouble overwhelm you. Then they will call to me, but I will not answer. They will look for me, but will not find me. Since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord, since they would not accept my advice and spurn my rebuke, they will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruits of their schemes. For the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. And those are my thoughts on complacency. Thank you for your time.